Your attention, please.
To all who come to this happy place, welcome.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness.
Is this haunted room actually stretching?
Yes, yes, hello.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
There's no turning back now.
Alrighty, I'm Ryan Bergara, and welcome to the saddest podcast on Earth, where three grown adults commiserate over their separation anxiety from the happiest place on Earth during quarantine. Each episode, we'll work through our sorrow by breaking down Disneyland by category, and then discussing our consensus top five things in that category, as well as what we believe the singular worst thing in that category is. And today's category is shows. Just a couple disclaimers up top here. First, we're only covering shows in the Disneyland Resort, so that's Disneyland proper and California Adventure. Second, we miss Disneyland, but we're not here hoping it's going to open before it's safe to do so. We made this pod as a therapeutic device to talk about Disneyland until it can safely open. And finally, this list is once again a consensus among the three of us, formed by a point system. So we each made our own top fives, and a ranking of first is worth 5 points, a ranking of second is worth 4 points, and so on and so on and so on. And then I tallied the scores to create this aggregate ranking. As such, only I know the contents of the list, and the rankings will be revealed live to the other two. Speaking of the other two, I'm joined today by Byron Marin and Amanda Pham, who are the only two people I know that have an unhealthy obsession with Disneyland like I do. And between the three of us, we've logged an alarming 2,000 plus visits to the park. All that being said, it's showtime, baby. I was waiting to say that.
You wake up this morning or like, all right, I got the segue.
Oh no, actually every morning I wake up and the first thing I say is it's showtime, baby.
Poor Mari.
And it annoys the hell out of Mari, but now I kind of think she fancies it as an alarm clock of sorts. So it certainly starts the day with pizzazz. Shows, how was this for you guys? Pretty easy for me, not going to lie.
I think it was easy for me. And I think we all can agree. There's all the shows that we probably would think of are no longer there.
True.
So it's pretty simple.
Yeah, that's a good point. We don't know what's going to make its back, like how it's going to change.
Yeah. Right.
They're going to have to get very creative with being able to handle a capacity.
I will say, true to form in both of your cases, there's one thing on both of your lists that was I felt inexplicable, but more so Amanda's than Byron's. Just wanted to just put that out there. We won't talk about it during the top fives because thankfully there was no muscle jobs this week, which means somebody put something way too high on their list, which then somehow edged its way into the main list. Actually, you know what? Byron did manage to muscle one in. Now I correct myself.
I'm sure. I think I know which one you're talking about. Where I put it one higher just to make sure that it could potentially slip on.
I should have done that.
I figured you would.
Because if you like put it number five, not gonna.
Well, Amanda's will now just be her honorable mention, so we could all laugh at that one.
Is it fair? Am I a piece of shit? Kind of. Am I happy it happened? Yes.
Well, you have to live with yourself. So let's just start with number five here. And there is a two-way tie for number five. So we'll go 5A, 5B, and we're going to start with 5B. 5B, and not placed here in any particular order, is the one that Byron muscled in. And it's Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
Great Moments with Mr. Lincoln.
A show that everyone loves and sees once in their life and goes, I'm good. I think I'm good for the rest of my life. Or I need a nap. And this is a great place for napping because they have good, comfy seats. A lot of people think the Tiki Room is a good place for a nap, which it is, but there's not backing on the seats. So this is actually top-tier nap territory, which is, as you know, what you want in a top five list for a show, a place where you could go close your eyes. Byron,
dude, you nailed it. This is my favorite nap hot and crowded day where I have nowhere else to go to.
So you listed it.
I go to
it
great
at,
moments with Mr. Lincoln.
You listed it.
Well, not just for that. Not just for that. I also think this was something that Walt was very into, very proud of, and it was a big feat at the time in Imagineering in regards to creating a human animatronic.
Yeah, yeah.
So for that technical feat, I felt like it kind of changed the game in theme park entertainment and like in shows where they actually pulled it off without a live actor. And the fact that they did that back in the late, was it 50s or early 60s, was pretty remarkable.
Well, I mean, yes, it was very impressive back in the day when he showcased this technology at the World Showcase, the World's Fair. Not the World Showcase. The World Showcase is in Epcot. the World's Fair. He had Lincoln stand up, and don't look this up, but I'm pretty sure people in the audience shouted, "God damn it, that's a ghost!" And people really thought Lincoln had come back to life.
And when he malfunctioned, I guess the fluid,
yes, the fluid
was
yeah.
actually red.
Yeah, that's
so.
It's not good. It almost seemed like they were in very bad taste reenacting the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. But I just don't. As cool as a factoid as that is, I just don't know if that's what I'm looking for when I'm looking for an experience or a show at Disneyland. I'm certainly not listing something that's a good napping show.
So a bunch of families just go to this theater and see Byron by himself.
Yeah,
If it's the middle of the day, I might be napping. If it's hot outside. And then there's like a Civil War scene where a cannon fire happens, and it always spooks me back into the.
it's a truce.
About 15 minutes in, just when I start dozing off, unfortunately, the cannon fire comes in, and
it's a truce news fest. Yeah, if you want to see what appears to be a homeless man sleeping in a Disney attraction. Just look no further than great moments with Abraham Lincoln on any kind of summer day, and you're likely to see Byron Marin curled up there in sweatpants with churro crumbs in his beard.
I'm using my old man ticket on this one.
That's fair. That's fair. I mean, look, it's your prerogative. Was not on my list. Shocker there. Amanda?
It was not on mine.
Her list.
Interesting.
Yes. We'll get to her honorable mention later. You're not off the hook. All right, let's move on to 5A here. This is something that I muscled onto the list, and might be my little muscle job. I mean, it is my muscle job, but whether or not it's warranted, we'll find out. It is the Christmas Fantasy Parade. I love this show.
What about that parade though? Is
it's just got the best jingle. The song is synonymous with joy whenever I hear it. And look, this heavily may be caked in nostalgia.
Is this the one with the melody that does like the dun 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 dun?
Yeah, that
it's really catchy.
It's a great song, and it plays on a loop essentially for like the entirety of the parade. They really don't change the melody at all. They just kind of, put some sauce on it, like Small World, kind of. It's a fantastic parade. The production is great. All the little characters are awesome. They got little gingerbread men that walked around. They have those toy soldiers, which fucking kick ass. They're playing snare drum.
Oh, and the ice skating snowflakes.
The ice skating snowflakes. They have an ice skating rink on wheels that's elevated on a float.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, yeah. Look, I'm not a parade guy. But Disneyland is the only place that really does parades well. Like, fuck a Macy's Day Parade. I don't care about the Rose Parade. Any of that stuff. But I do enjoy a Christmas Fantasy Parade. Also, if I could have, I would have put Electrical Light Parade on this.
Mm-hmm. Although that's
gone now, right?
It comes and goes.
It comes back every now and then when Disney's like, we need to get more nerds back in this park. During the summer.
I would definitely put it on there.
But no, Christmas Fantasy Parade is like it's very much like the Winter Soldier. When I hear that song, I immediately become a child again.
See, that to me is, I like I, that song is very catchy, but the electrical parade to me really
takes
me back to being a little kid and being awestruck.
If we were doing defunct shows, we would have no argument that the electrical light parade rips. The show is great. But the A Christmas Fantasy Parade, number 5A, you guys did not have this on your list. We don't need to talk about it any further if we don't want to.
It's a good show. Like, there's just a lot of good shows and parades out there.
Yeah.
Well, when you were doing the jingle, I immediately can imagine me walking through that crowd.
And it's a great time to be there.
Yeah, it's great.
You can, like, get right back there with that jingle.
Also, it's of all the Disney shows, it's the most pleasurable one to wait for. Because when you're waiting for the fireworks, everyone's crammed into Main Street like sardines. Whereas if you're waiting for this parade or the electrical light parade, you're usually sitting on the curb and maybe munching on some popcorn. If it's a cold winter day, which it is for this parade, you're sipping some hot chocolate. and you're just watching people walk by on Main Street. You're people watching. You're already watching a show. It's like a pre-show to the show. It's a great experience. Anyways, let's move to number 4 here. And this is Mickey and the Magical Map.
A wondrous map with power to transport dreamers to any place imaginable.
Yes, that's number 4. Amanda, where was this on your list?
This was 4.
Yes, this was number 5 for me.
I have not seen it.
Unbelievable.
Oh my God, I feel bad for you.
And I don't know if I don't know if I'll ever see it now.
That's true.
I mean, who knows?
We are recording this podcast right after news that I believe Mickey and the Magical Map and Jedi Training, some parts of the live show department, live entertainment from Disney have been gutted because of the pandemic. So RIP possibly here. But I'll let Amanda start on this one.
I just think that theater means a lot to me, and they
yes,
that show just has really good graphics, right?
It does have it has graphics, yes.
but really interactive, like with the dancing and the music.
Are they good? I don't know.
But I don't know. I think it's
they
great.
Certainly have graphics.
but I like that they bring back all the characters.
Yeah.
And you just feel happy.
Yeah,
and it feels like OG performance, like Disneyland.
It does.
Does this take place in that Royal Theater near, like, Small World?
It does, yes. It's the same place that had, like, I believe at one point there was, like, a Beauty and the Beast show there.
Pocahontas show?
Yeah. Oh, man, do you remember the Hunchback of Notre Dame show?
Oh, that one was
that show
fucking amazing.
Slaps.
So man, good.
So fucking good. I missed that show. What the production on that one was insane. We're not
so
talking
good.
About that, though. We're talking about Mickey and the Magical Map.
They definitely, like, had less money in production.
Oh, absolutely.
So they have a huge-ass screen.
They basically, to me, were like, what's a good way for us to essentially do Disney song karaoke with very talented performers and get away with it? And so they kind of, in my opinion, cobbled together a very, very lazy narrative where Mickey the Sorcerer has to figure out how to make this magical map. I could do without the story. I honestly am kind of offended by it, just because I'm like, I know what you want to do here. You want to just sing Disney hits. Just give me the hits. I don't need this BS storyline.
There's a few shows.
Yeah.
That I think we all really love that do the same thing.
Yeah, just, but at least the story is like, there's a couple shows in this list that we don't have to talk about them yet. But this show, I will say, is top tier live singing performance. Like, they do sing a bunch of hits. They have fun little costumes. They sing Under the Sea. They do this wonderful three-way melody. It's like a mashup. Like, somebody from Disney went to go see Pitch Perfect 2 and was like, I could do that. And they just mashed together three songs, which actually fit together really well. I believe it's Colors of the Wind. And then they have I See the Light from Tangled. And then they have Reflection from Mulan. And it's a three-way medley. And it's pretty spectacular, I'm not going to lie. But all the singing is great. So it's a fun show to just watch legit live music at the park, albeit with the backdrop of somebody firing up Adobe Photoshop.
Do you think it's live?
Oh, it is.
It
think
is?
So. I believe it, yeah.
Because huh.
it hasn't been the same each time.
Ryan's been.
I've seen
least.
This show at least 4 to 5 times,
oh,
and,
shit.
And I've definitely been one time where I was like, looks like the understudy performed today. Just kidding. So mean.
You have your favorite, like, Mulan.
No, I don't know their faces, but I could recognize, like, oh, who has a good voice and, like, who has, like, a not as good voice is how I will say that. yeah.
Byron, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, you missed out, man. I don't
know.
We'll
see. I'm nervous. maybe it'll come back.
Maybe it will. Hopefully it will. Hopefully not.
But no, I hear good things about this show. That theater in itself is just one I don't make it too often. I don't know if it's just like the group of people I usually go with. It's just we don't set enough time like in the day. It's
the
just,
locations kind
of
sucks.
Yeah, it's not a side of the park that I usually am frequenting. Because mm-hmm. I'm not really going on Small World on the rig, nor am I ever really venturing over to Toontown because I was going to say because I'm an adult, but I realized the irony of that saying like, I'm an adult. Okay, I don't go to Toontown. Do I go to Disneyland every weekend? Yeah, but I'm an adult and I don't go to Toontown, so that's where I draw the line. Anyways, you guys want to go get some Mickey waffles at Goofy's Kitchen? Yeah, no, I don't go to this part of the park. Anyways, let's move on. Let's go to number three here. Now, I was... oh, no, wait a second. This was a tie. So this is 2A, 2B. In no particular order, both received 11 points. Let's go for 2B. This is World of Color.
Walt Disney presents
The Wonderful World of Color.
I mean, no surprise here. I think these top three aren't going to really shock anybody, but let's go through them. Where was World of Color on your list, Amanda?
It was three.
Three.
I appreciate the order so far.
I don't think it's been particularly egregious other than like, a president that snuck in there. let's talk about World of Color. Oh, Byron, before we do that, let's go around right now and say where it was on your list. Byron, where was it on your list?
World of Color was two.
Yeah, World of Color for me was also two. So Amanda, let's start with you. Three, you ranked it the lowest out of all of us, which is still top three.
Right. But I'm actually shocked you guys did that because I thought you wouldn't put it in front of like a Disneyland show.
It's a spectacular show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just think it's like an orchestra. So it feels really nice. Like that feels like a live show for some reason, obviously.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, everything about it makes me like feel good at the end of the day at the park, you know, like you're tired and you're like, ooh, this mist is nice. And then you go home.
Everything about this show is precise. Both in, like, the actual timing of the fountains, but also their manipulation of our emotions. it's an insanely precise show. It switches from, like, happy fun to now sad, then back to uplifting by basically just picking out the scenes that they know will evoke those emotions from us.
See, this show's an excellent example of, like, playing all the hits.
Yeah, they're playing us like a goddamn violin throughout this entire show.
Isn't there... The Stampede in it?
The Stampede's in it. You get to see everyone's favorite
thing.
And
they play it out, too.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
They don't, it's not just like a little like snippet. Like they're like, we're going to give you basically this whole scene.
Yeah, let's watch a boy see his father get stomped to death by live animals. we get to see that fun moment. But we also get very tender moments, like Wally dancing with Eve. Out in space. The Up House rising up. Which, by the way, every time that song starts, I think out of any show at Disneyland, I hear more of this in the background than any other show. Once you hear the first two piano of the
ding, ding, ding,
you'll hear... Aww. And you'll hear it. It's usually like all the moms in the crowd start quaking with just... But that song, more than any other song, there's something so somber about the beginning of it that's also kind of like reaches back. Like it's very nostalgic, but it does almost make me want to cry every time I hear that song. Damn you, Michael Giacchino, and your beautiful music. But this is, like Byron said, this is the true definition of playing the hits. A collection of some of my favorite movie scenes, like the Buzz Lightyear setup is spectacular. All of the scenes and like fountain displays that they have with them are all really good. I don't think there's a weak link in this show.
Not really. And it's just so well paced.
It is well paced.
Because you get those soft, like, somber moments, like the emotional bit. Then it'll hit hard with, you know, the Pirates of the Caribbean pyrotechnics.
Oh, my God. The fire on the pirates part. Especially,
it's so epic.
Oh, my God. Especially if you're in part of, like, the, well, ideal viewing area is that red viewing area where you're, like, in the middle, but you're kind of farther back in the middle.
The
but you,
red viewing.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah. There's yellow, red, and blue. Red's the best, I think.
Well, that's the nice part, too, about the show. I think you can see the show from, like, any angle.
You can, but if you're in certain spots, it's better. But also, you do get sprayed a little bit by the water. So when you do get that, like, giant air dry from the Pirates of the Caribbean fire, pretty awesome. Also, the beginning of this show, like, the original music that they have for this is amazing.
Oh, like, that they bring back from, like, the original program?
Yeah.
Rule of Color.
But then they kind of riff it off into like a whole new song, like the when it starts. And we talked about this in the Elevated Experiences episode. But like, there's the part where like there's just like the water's kind of just squirting up a little bit in the beginning, and it's like ding 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 ding. Ding ding. And you're just like, and I'm like looking out into like a sea of color, and I'm like, oh wow, I'm about to go on an adventure. It's a world of color.
Can you sing it?
No, but there is a video of me in high school, or not high school. It was me in college. I was in my dorm, and I was obsessed with this show, and I was watching it on my computer, singing along with it. And my roommate took a video of me. We could post that on the social.
Send that.
Because I used to watch this show so goddamn much, and then after a while I kind of burned myself out on it, but every now and then I'll go back and watch this and just be taken on a journey. I love
nice.
It anyways, let's move to number two here. Number two is I guess in a general sense the fireworks show, whatever it usually is. I think Remember Dreams Come True is still on every now and then. That's my favorite one. Byron said that he liked the Believe in Holiday Magic. Is, I believe, the name of the Christmas show. And there was, for a brief moment, Wishes, if you remember that.
Or Wishes was so good.
Yeah.
I think it's still here, though.
Wait, was Wishes in Disney World?
Disneyland, too.
It was, right? Yeah. Okay, yeah. Wishes was the one that had...
Like, Wishes!
Yeah, and it had Dumbo fly over the castle.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
But
no, it's all the fireworks shows are great. My particular favorite is Remember Dreams Come True, because it uses all of the ride audio. Genius. Fucking genius idea.
Yo, that's my favorite. The one they do the haunted part.
Oh my God. With the haunted room actually stretching.
Is this haunted room actually stretching? Or is it your imagination?
And all the fireworks stretch out around you 360. When that happened for the first time, my mind exploded. Me and a child behind me, I watched that show for the first time when I was in high school, and there was like a toddler behind me. We both made the same noise, which was like, whoa! It was like crazy.
Dude, and the cannons?
Oh, and the cannons, the cannon fight? There are some set pieces in that show that are spectacular and like go beyond what a fireworks show should be. The cannon fire fight between the Matterhorn and it's the castle, right? Or where's the other...
It kind of goes to, like, thunder, right?
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
There's a cannon fight in that show that's freaking cool as hell.
So awesome. So smart. It really, you know, whoever made the show is, like, a Disney fan.
Oh, for sure. The Indiana Jones part is also spectacular. Mm-hmm. There is something about that Christmas show that I love, which is funny because I hate the World of Color Christmas show. Yeah. There's something about... And that's where I think it revealed to me that World of Color... The fountains by themselves aren't actually that spectacular. It has to have, like, the nostalgia magic of, like, the scenes, the music that you like.
The fountains and projections are insanely, like, impressive.
Yeah. But they don't evoke emotion the way fireworks do on their own for some reason.
Yeah, they hit all these creative beats and they play all the hits. Which same could be said with the nighttime fireworks at Disneyland.
Yeah,
where the ones with all the ride snippets. It's basically like, hey, remember all that fun stuff you did all day?
It's so good. It's so good. And they play some of the best ride audio, like some of my favorite ride narration, kind of like the intro of this podcast. They have like the wildest ride in the wilderness, the wildest ride in the wilderness. And then they also play, you know, the Haunted Mansion, Eyes of Mara, all that stuff. It's great. But Byron, what in particular about the holiday show intrigues you?
I am so easily amused, and when white foam just kind of sprinkles out over the of, you know, people all bundled up.
It's pretty great.
In their coats.
For us Cali kids, that's our snow.
Yeah, sipping their cocoa. Yeah, we don't get much snow in Southern California, so I buy it. There's, I don't know, something about the music that plays. Everyone's just in this beautiful mood. Just floats down.
Do you get a little emotional? Because I do.
I do. That is probably one of the most emotional times.
Yeah.
I get. It's the season, you know, and
yeah.
You won't know it's Christmas until that's there.
It's both. It's sad because the snow falling. Is this too real of a story to tell on this podcast? There's a part of it that's like sad and happy at the same time, because unfortunately, the thing I think about when the snow falls is my grandma. And she's, I don't know why I'm laughing while I'm saying this, but my grandma has passed away. So I always think of her when I see the snow fall, because she was a rather stoic lady. And I remember the first time we saw this show and the snow was falling, it was the first time I'd ever really seen like emotion on her face. And I was like, whoa, even grandma digs it. And now I think of grandma every time I see that I get hit by that soap.
Wow, you're fucking welcome, Disney advertising.
That's right, because it plays White Christmas, right?
Commercial.
Yeah, it plays, yeah, it does. And it's like that soft...
Very much as piano.
I feel like it's Sarah McLachlan singing. It almost sounds like her.
Who is it? Is it Julie Andrews or something?
I don't know, but it doesn't start with the lyrics at first. There's just piano at the beginning where it goes ding, ding, ding. And then the snow starts coming out.
And you get like a little bit of gasp from everyone, but for the most part, everyone's just like holding it in, like, oh my God. Like, it's
yeah. There's also, weirdly enough, like there's a mechanical part of the show that's actually pushing out the snow, and you could hear the snow machine blowing it out, like the vents, and that noise actually gets me excited, even though it's just a vent.
Oh, here it comes.
Yeah, here comes the snow.
Because you hear it like a little bit before it starts shooting out.
It's a truly magical moment. Also, maybe my favorite rendition of I'll Be Home for Christmas, which is one of my favorite Christmas songs. So when that part of the show comes, the fireworks that they have along with it are very, like, soft. That it always plays great. I love that show. So, like, I don't know. It's almost like 1A, 1B. You could actually almost list those as two different shows, to be honest. But I'm glad we didn't, because we got to talk about them both. What was that on your guys' list? Did we already say that? For me, it was number 3.
Fireworks, I think I had 3.
Amanda, I think yours was 2.
Mine was 1.
Oh, it was 1?
I love the fireworks. I will save taking, like, Laura there.
Yeah.
Because I, like, know that's going to be such a special moment. Like, I don't take anyone to just see fireworks with me. I would take, like, a partner.
Here's a really funny question that may be not funny.
What?
What if you show her the show, and you could tell halfway through it she's just clearly not into it?
She's clearly not into it?
Like, not into the show at all.
That would make me... That's
like if she's, like,
checking
her phone and stuff, and she's just like,
yo,
babe, we need to talk.
Dude,
I'm not going to lie. I bet you there's, like... There will be a part of at least me that would be a little steamed. I'd be
I would be like kind of like questioning her every. The trust, I would have trust issues from there. No, I don't think I would. I'm not taking her yet. I haven't gone with her yet.
That's crazy.
And it's been 2 years.
I went to Disneyland is actually where I asked Mari to be my girlfriend.
Oh, damn it.
Which is the corniest thing on earth. But if you're me, it just makes sense.
That makes so much sense. And actually, I'm kind of mad because I was like, that's such a good idea.
You know where I asked her?
Where? Storybook boat things?
No. I asked her on the bench outside Haunted Mansion.
Were you eating popcorn?
I was eating popcorn.
Were you feeding each other popcorn?
No. It was not a planned moment. I was just kind of like, I sat down and then we kind of just talked and then like it just kind of happened in the moment. But I just thought it was really funny that it happened in front of Haunted Mansion.
Was it after Haunted Mansion or?
It was before Haunted Mansion.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's like the ultimate representation of like bringing her into your world. I feel
that's
like.
That's true.
Right outside of Haunted Mansion, like, well. You're in the belly of the beast now. What do you think? Can we do this?
She spent all day with you, and you're like, okay, she passed the test.
Yeah. It was spooky time, and we were in Disney World. Not world, but land.
The best.
You know what I mean.
Oh, that moved quick.
It was good. But, the fireworks show is great. It's a great way to end the day, unless you're, like, staying at a hotel. Because usually I will check out after this. I'll, like, leave, mm-hmm. most like everyone does. But if I'm staying there at a hotel, that's when you could hit the best amount of rides because everyone is, you know, trekking at home. So it's a good time.
You know when you're at the park and you're like, okay, let's just leave during the fireworks?
Yeah.
And like
get through? I've definitely done that, yeah.
But like I think me and my friends always like mean to leave, but we're like, fuck, this is a good show. And then we're just chilling by the tree.
Yeah.
We're just waiting
at
that point.
It makes sense. Sometimes I leave when the fireworks are going, and then I'll just like, and then I'll just see the fireworks on the freeway, and it's like, oh, I saw them, and I'll even put on like the soundtrack. It's good enough. Anyways, let's move on to number one here. I mean, it's obvious, Fantasmic. Let's go around quickly where this was on everyone's list. Amanda, for you?
It was 2.
And then
1.
And then for me, it was also 1. Yeah. And now let's start again with Amanda here.
I don't argue that. I actually don't really know why I did fireworks first. It's kind of a tie
in my head. I feel like fireworks is fair, though.
It's fair. It's not like, we shouldn't be shouting at you or anything like that.
It's just Fantasmic, I think.
Most people that wouldn't be like huge Disney heads, I think, would go with fireworks.
I think so, too. I agree with that, yeah. That's true. It's probably true.
Fantasmic has awesome moments, though. I don't know if they're still there. I haven't seen the new one. I don't think. Maybe I have, but
yeah, the new one, I will say there's some things, some choices made that I'm not a fan of.
So it's different.
It's not completely different. Like the main elements are still there, but one of the things that, and this is so nitpicky, but I hate that they have Mickey's audio on now during like, you know, like the opening sequence when he's dancing on the stage, the fire comes out of his hands, mm-hmm. or the fireworks do, and he's like, you know, he's conducting. Now and then, you hear every now and then just kind of like and it just ruins the moment. Like, it ruins it. It's just like the audio was so clean before of just hearing that beautiful music. This is a great show.
So that's like one of the, they added more like depth maybe to like the characters.
They tried to. They sure tried to.
I love the princesses. I love the Pinocchio part.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Dumbo part. Yeah!
Dumbo part's also great. Big plane coming over, but I'm just going to power through. Another part that I really like is the, and I don't actually know if this is still in the show, but one of my favorite parts was the dancing monkeys. When it goes into that crazy, like, little, that there's a part before it gets into, like, the main part, but there's, like, some, like, drums, and it goes. And they're, like, dancing on the floats.
And they're, like, bright orange.
Yeah, and they're bright orange. And they're doing the little fun monkey dance.
So good.
I love that. That's great. The dragon is, I mean, spectacular. This is the one show out of all of these that has a true narrative. It's a true beginning, middle, end that is easy to follow, a legitimately good story. You're trapped in you're in Mickey's imagination, and then the villains of all the Disney movies try and infiltrate Mickey's mind and turn it into a nightmare, which is a freaking crazy concept. Such a good idea. And then you get this great battle of literally good versus evil. And I love the villain. I love that they made the villain the witch, who then turns into the dragon somehow? Is that canon in terms of like the movies?
I just thought No,
She has the dragon from Sleeping Beauty on her side is what it is. That's what it is. She does not turn into the
I like believed you if you said that.
Yeah,
she
yeah. As a kid I used to think that. I was like, hey, wait, she doesn't turn into a dragon. She has apples.
Oh, is that what the Conjuring part is about? Like
yeah,
when she's like over the bowl.
Yeah, there's that one sequence when all the villains are basically like, yeah, let's beat up Mickey. And then Ursula comes in and goes, yeah, let's do it. And then they all...
it's the Avengers of Disney villains.
Kinda. It's a fun show, and it has amazing moments. Like the dragon fight between Mickey. There's like a pretty serious moment where the dragon like casts like a whole ball of fire at Mickey. And it looks like Mickey just disintegrates on stage for a second. He just goes, oh, no! Then the fire hits him. And I remember when as a kid, I was like, oh, my God, they just murked Mickey. Oh, no! And then he comes back.
One would argue it's an easy resolution.
It is. But it's still frightening and still insanely imposing to see that giant dragon on stage. And both the old dragon, which was kind of like it looked like some sort of like cloth hanging on large poles, which and like big eyes, but it was impressive even back in the day. But now that new mechanical dragon, the animatronic, holy smokes, that thing like articulates, the neck moves, it's crazy. A showstopper. The music's fantastic. I wish I could play the entire finale on this podcast. Just because it's a true showstopper moment when Mickey appears on top of Tom Sawyer's island, and it comes with that great music cue, when it goes boom, ba-dum, boom, boom, and he's up there, and then he does the final conducting. Fantastic.
The venue's amazing.
It's a great venue.
That's what really sets it apart. Is
yeah,
and they have this show in a couple other areas in the world, but Disneyland I think has the coolest venue.
Have you seen it at Disney World?
I've seen it at Disney World, and I've seen it at Tokyo Disney Sea.
Oh, interesting. How is it at Disney Sea?
It's awesome. It's got another awesome backdrop.
Yeah,
but I think there's something a little more intimate about the Disneyland one on Tom Sawyer's Island. I don't know if I just because I grew up with it. It's cool because it's the Rivers of America that circled through. It's on its own body of water at Disney Sea, which is kind of the middle, like right past the entryway. You got that awesome massive, you know, volcano in the background.
Yes, yes.
And that's also a cool place to watch the show. I'd put that second, and then Disney World's or at Hollywood Studios is kind of pretty standard.
I actually really did not enjoy Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios.
It's just kind of a general amphitheater.
Yeah. It's not
where
the same.
Where you sit on benches and
yeah.
At least the Tokyo version, it's kind of the same thing. You just find your open vantage points or, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Stand up, you could sit on like steps that go down and I don't know. It kind of had it was a little closer to the Tom Sawyer. It was just like on a larger scale.
There's something about, I think, Fantasmic being in a venue that makes it just much more of a straightforward show. Whereas in Disneyland, and I haven't seen it in Disney Sea, so I can't speak to this, but in Disneyland, for me, the fact that it just happens in the middle of the Rivers of America, wedged between these lands, it's like the lands came to life, and basically it's not even like you're seeing a show. It's like an experience, almost. And it's also the perfect scale at Disneyland, where it's like big enough that it is like, you know, awe-inspiring, but also you're not ever too far from the action. Like, you could get pretty close to this show.
Yeah, and I think that's what hurts World of Color the most, is it doesn't have that same amazing setting.
Yeah, and just there's just so many elements being played with here. There's the live action elements. You have like a giant boat fight with you know pirates. It's freaking crazy. And then it also combines the screen technology, the water screen technology, which was like the first time that's been used. And it's a crazy show, man. I used to conduct in the pool with my brother along to the end of this. He would use the hose, and I would be Mickey. as you can tell, we definitely were very popular in school.
You bring your little boombox out. Dun, dun, dun,
dun, dun, oh, no, we had the music dun, playing dun, in the backyard, yeah. Dun, dun, and we had it. We had one of those blow-up pools, and we would play in the blow-up pool. it was a fun time. But, yeah, this is a fantastic show. My favorite show. Yeah, it's my favorite show in any of the theme parks. Actually, number two would be Waterworld at Universal Studios. I love that show.
That's the one with
that
the
is
jet
a show that is
like...
so much better than the actual film.
No, it's so good though.
I think more people know about the live show of Waterworld. Than...
Yeah, just a lack of respect out there in the theme park world.
Wait, is that based on
Waterworld?
A movie?
Yeah, it is. It's based on the Kevin Costner flop.
Okay.
One of the greatest box office flops of all time. But a spectacular 18-minute theme park show. All right, let's move on to honorable mentions. These are things that were on our personal list that did not make it onto the main list, and we took exception to that. So now we each get one. Let's start with Amanda. I know what her honorable mention should be, looking at her list, but now I'm wondering if she's gonna change it.
Okay, so I have a lot of honorable mentions.
You can only have one. That's the rules of the game.
Except you tend to list off 20
yeah,
every other week. So
okay, I'll quickly go through it. Can I at least just
let's
quickly
go. Let's quickly go through
the one that I put on my list that didn't make it is the Small World holiday lighting.
Then let's take a quick 20-second TO here. Let's talk about the Small World holiday lighting.
Oh, shit. Okay.
First off, what do you mean?
So there's like projections.
Yeah.
That like, I think they look really fucking cool. And I liked the music and I liked the lighting. And the Small World, like, lit up for holidays is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It has like that frantic music that plays.
It's chaotic. Fucking awesome.
So I feel like I'm like just doing too many like miming melodies.
Just a ride facade. But just a ride facade's the show.
I know, but it's still a light show, right?
It is very fun.
Okay. How this? I put it on there.
It's also
at
very
five,
brief though.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when you, it's surprising when you walk by. You're like, oh, I should watch this. I never planned to be there, but when I do.
Well, you're going to have to really nail that target because it's like a 30-second show. So if you're not walking by in that 30 seconds, you're going to miss it.
Oh, you're getting it again in 15 minutes.
Get it.
It's like a treat.
It's like kind of like a loop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, that's why. Okay.
I've taken peas longer than that show.
but does it not count? It does, right?
It should. I get it counts in your mind.
It kind of counts. Kind of.
I really like Princess Fantasy Fair.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that once, yeah.
Yeah, those are fucking hilarious.
Can't say I've made it out. Oh, you know what? Is that at that Royal Theater, too?
Yeah.
I've walked by it a lot. It seems like they do, like, parodies of sorts, right?
Yeah, they're
right?
Fucking hilarious. They have adult theme, like, they have adult jokes that the kids won't get, I think, sometimes. They kind of can fuck around. So I appreciate that part.
Yeah, too much content for kids at this park.
Yeah, I fucking hate it.
Enough is enough.
Yeah. Anyways, go ahead, Byron.
Ooh. Okay, so I'm torn between two. I'm kind of hoping Ryan will pick up the other one for honorable mention.
Maybe.
If not, I'll just sneak it in there at the end. Because screw you, Ryan. You do it all the time.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Frozen show.
Oh, yes. The Frozen show, A California Adventure. That's a really good one.
Now,
that should have been in a top five. God
no,
damn
it shouldn't have.
That's a good show.
That is not a good show.
Here's the deal. I'm sure I'm bitter in the same way you are.
I'm so bitter.
This would have been higher on my list.
Yeah.
Or on my list in general had it still been another show that I actually preferred. It's the venue. The fact that you can go in with your ticket, I think it really maximizes your ticket value when you could watch a 45-minute Broadway caliber production.
It's true.
It's beautiful Hyperion Theater.
It's good. It's a good show.
That being said, I think they really bought into the Frozen hype, and I would have rather it not be Frozen. But it's still like you're getting an incredible production quality. It doesn't take up too many hours of your day because it condenses it. But yeah. It's not like short enough that you're shortchanged.
No, it's a high quality show. I agree with you. I think the only reason I didn't put it on my list is because I forgot. Just because that usually changes. It's usually that or before it was Aladdin. I don't even know what it was before Aladdin. I don't even know if that existed.
It was maybe potentially Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Oh yeah, that's right. You're right.
Oh shit.
I think you're right.
Is it?
Maybe. No, Hyperion Theater was always there.
Yeah, so what was there before Aladdin?
Millionaire is where that Disney Junior.
Yes, he's right.
Is now.
You are right. Yeah. The playground. Yeah.
Can't believe no love for Disney Junior on these lists.
It's fucking awesome, actually.
Can't say I made it, but I hear it's good for the kids.
Are you serious? I haven't seen it.
Oh, yeah. My nephew's.
See, that's
going to
be a little too
die.
Far. Once I walk into there as a grown adult without any kids in there, then there, I think there's a little bit of a problem. I'll be hopping next door to a Mickey's PhilharMagic.
I think Amanda watches the show without her nephews, and then she just screams at everyone in the audience, I have nephews. I deserve to be here. They're not here with me. I just love Disney Junior.
At least I'm not sleeping in a theater.
Hey, you know what? I need my rest sometimes.
My honorable mention.
It's where I get my peace and quiet.
Let's see. What would my honorable mention? I don't know if this even is considered a show. That's why it felt weird for me to list it. But if it was officially a show, I think I would have felt a little bit better about putting it in my top five. But the Tiki Room. Yeah, I mean, it feels almost like a ride, to be honest. That's why it's kind of... It's like a weird no man's land. But, like, of course, the Tiki Room deserves to be in a top five. A classic. A great bit of theming. I love Hawaii.
It's like stays in your head.
It stays in your head. Not the most exciting show. I know back in the day it was, like, very spectacular because people were like, holy shit, those birds are talking. But now, you know, it's pretty run-of-the-mill, and then it has fun stuff. Like the little totem poles that start singing, the whole room comes to life. The little drummer guys up on top, those guys are fun. Tiki Room is up there for me.
Holding your Dole Whip?
Holding my Dole Whip. Half the time I'm in the Tiki Room waiting area, it was so I could get a Dole Whip. But now we have Tropical Hideaway, so I don't have
to
do that.
Wait, I think
anymore.
That's like the only way I really watched the show, like intentionally.
Yeah.
Was like accidentally.
Yeah, getting led into the room while I was waiting for my Dole Whip. Because here was like a little trick of the trade. Back in the day, the easiest way to get a Dole Whip was not to wait on the outside line, which is in the Adventureland Bridge. That was where all the suckers waited. The real vets would just go into the Tiki Room waiting room and just order it from that area. And the line was always like one, two people tops.
Everyone would assume that you had to be waiting
for the show,
for the Tiki Room, or it was just a little, you know, cattle pen to be waiting for the show.
And I won't lie, there have been a couple times, like Amanda said, that they started bringing people in, and I had a Dole Whip, and I felt guilty. So I was like,
before,
whatever.
Though, they had the turnstile, so you couldn't really, like, hop back out.
Yeah, you couldn't.
Unless you, I remember telling the cast member, because I felt bad, like, oh, I have to go to the restroom, like, right there. Like, can I just go real quick? And I just got out.
I don't think they care. I mean, I thought they cared. Like, I felt guilty a couple times where I would, like, walk into the Tiki Room and immediately go out the exit. anyways, it feels weird to not have it here just because of tradition, but it should be at least an honorable mention. All right, let's move to dishonorable mentions now. These are things that, you know, we think are the least or the worst show in the park. Starting with Amanda.
Oh, I hate that, like, those dance-offs. Those fucking, like...
Oh, any of the impromptu dance-off,
like,
things?
I think they do. Yeah. They used to do Star Wars, and then now they're doing Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
And it's fucking embarrassing. Like, I think that's embarrassing. Like, you can't spend that much money for a day at the parks and watch that.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's fair. That's fair.
It's just not a good cost-efficient, like, decision.
I think the worst version of that, and I don't know if I even consider that a show, but because they suck, I think we should allow it. But I do hate in Cars Land when the stupid cars come out in the street and they start wiggling around. First off, I hate Cars, the franchise.
You don't like traffic jams?
No, it's so dumb. It's so dumb.
I don't even get the point of that. Like,
I think they look really cool.
I don't know, man.
But they just kind of show up.
The kids
they just
love
bring
them.
Out a
yeah, that's the thing. I think the kids got to, like, think it's so cool.
Yeah,
that
the kids,
this, like,
love it. But, you know,
fuck them kids.
Adult me, yeah. It's like Michael Jordan. Fuck them kids.
You're in the way. Get out of my way.
I've got a fast pass that expires in 3 minutes. Move your Lightning McQueen ass out the street. Yeah, it's
you
not
can cool. ride it. You can go on it.
Yeah. You know, I don't want to see Lightning McQueen in the middle of the street, clogging up traffic, fucking making it hard for me to get to rides, dancing to top 40 hits. It's not what I came to Disneyland for. All right, Brian, what's your dishonorable mention?
Ugh. Am I actually going to draw a blank down? No, I'm not. It's the Pixar Play Parade.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's pretty bad. He did take mine, and now I'm going to have to think of another one.
That's a really good, bad one.
And there's not too many. There are some like shows I don't get so crazy about. And there's even this one is not that bad. I kind of agree with what you two were saying about some of these like kind of – they're almost like mini shows where they just kind of have some actors outside doing some little like
– yeah.
You might not find it on your park map on a schedule. They just kind of pop. Like, the Guardians is kind of a little – it's a little much like – I don't want to – it's weird, like, kind of stepping into Universal territory where it seems like they're kind of shoehorning a little too much, like, current IP.
It's like, let's just cause some unnecessary congestion in the middle of the park.
But the Pixar Parade
– it's like an ad break.
It's like middle of the day, and I think
– it is.
I think they put enough Pixar into – the other parades that they don't need a full on like its own parade. It doesn't really evoke many feel like the same feelings that you do get from the Best of Pixar. It almost embraces the most tacky aspects.
Yeah,
Pixar is.
Yeah.
And if you want to see good Pixar in a parade, Paint the Night is incredible.
Oh yeah, it's pretty good.
And I had a hard time not getting that on my list because that's like basically
that's basically
the current, like, the more modern version of the electrical parade.
It's pretty good.
Where they have these beautiful LED lights and effects, and they do incorporate a good mix of, you know, old school Disney and Pixar, where the Pixar Play Parade, in comparison, just pales.
Well, it's taking a cue from its nearby brother, the Pixar Pier, which is a giant turd. Anyways, I'm going to put what's my show here since Byron took mine. You know what? I don't know. Is there still that? There's usually some dumb show in the Golden Horseshoe. Like, what for a little bit of a time, there was the Woody's Roundup.
Yeah.
Fuck, that's right.
And that show sucked.
Yeah, that was
the horrible show.
I don't think that's there anymore.
But there, and then there was like the Frontierland Review or something like that. It was just like basically like vaudeville shows. Kind of like going back to what was originally there. I think I'm just salty because they took out one of my favorite shows of all time, which is Billy Hill and the Hillbillies. Those guys rule. They were there for 20 years, and like 1,000 people showed up to the last show. It's I talked about this on another podcast, but yeah, that whatever had replaced it, whatever there now, I'm just gonna say stinks. If I had to really think of another one, I haven't seen Disney Junior.
I actually think they took out shows completely
from the Golden Horseshoe. Yeah, so I'm just scrambling to think of another one. I'm not the biggest fan of Muppet Vision. I'll just say that.
Oh my god,
you know it's
trash,
not there anymore, right?
Muppet Vision.
I actually had such low expectations for it that I never saw it at California Adventure, and I went during the holidays once to Disney World. Actually, it was a year ago, and when we were waiting for our Rise of the Resistance reservation, everything was so crowded that we just hopped into Muppet. And I actually found it much funnier than I thought it would be. Maybe just like I don't watch Muppets usually.
I love the Muppets.
Those old dudes are really kind of funny.
Oh yeah, yeah.
In
great.
The pre-show and stuff like that. So I actually thought it was a better show than I expected. But my expectations were, you know, in the dirt, and it was no wait. So I was okay with it. But they no longer have it at California Adventure. They have Mickey's Feeler Magic in that spot.
Oh, that's right.
That's
yeah,
a good
yeah,
one.
Which
yeah,
is
yeah,
a
yeah.
is
pretty
a great
cool.
show.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
They
pretty
have
cool.
it also in Disney World. They have it in Japan. If you haven't been on it, it's a lot of fun. It's if you like Donald Duck, you know, getting screwed over for
he does get screwed
15
over
minutes
a lot.
Or so,
yeah.
and just kind of doing the like yeah, whatever
he really
the whole time.
It.
It's
it.
A cool 3D experience.
Is that the so I think they've done previews now in there, right?
They have done that too, but now it's
back
now
to
it's
that.
Mickey's Feeler Magic. And that was actually going to be a potential dishonorable mention for me, was I don't like, the Tomorrowland Theater.
You don't like takeovers.
I don't like when they have to give you a 10-minute, extended trailer of a movie that's, basically in theaters tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I will say it convinced me to watch Maleficent. that's the one movie that, it kind of worked.
I did actually watch that one. That was the one at the Bugsland Theater at the time.
Yeah.
But the one at Tomorrowland Theater, I know, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience was not, a masterpiece, but I really enjoyed it as a kid. And I think it was cool and more true to Tomorrowland than just shoehorning these, Star Wars, highlight reels, where it's really just showing clips of the old films leading up. And it's a little bit, a little gimmicky, a little much. That's, where I start feeling okay, this is an advertisement.
Yeah, I agree. I think we'll just settle on that then. I mean, it really was the Pixar parade. I guess there's a part of me that doesn't like the Crush show that much anymore either. But, that's just because I think it's old. There's a difference. I think it's a good show. I'm tired of it.
I still don't get how they do it, though.
It is pretty cool. That's what I'm saying. If you just put that on top of, a new property, it would be fun. If they put Toy Story in there or something, that'd be awesome. Anyways, I guess that does it for this podcast. Anything else you guys got here?
I think it covers it. We slipped a bunch of extra ones in there.
Yeah, we did.
Glad we made it happen.
Defunct shows.
We could do that eventually, yeah. All right. Well, that does it for this episode of the Saddest Podcast on Earth. Make sure you follow us on at Saddest Pod on both Instagram and Twitter, where Amanda is going to be tippa-tapping on those socials. Byron and I will not be. If you're talking to anybody in there, you're talking to Amanda. That's it. I'll see you guys later. We'll see you guys later. Bye-bye.